Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Hey, a wonderful good morning. Very exciting today, very exciting. Let's finish this terrific book about Leroy Nemus. Wow, what a phenomenal book. The name of the book is All Told, My Heart and Life Among Athletes, Playboys, Bunnies, and Boxers. This book was terrific. When I first got it, I thought, oh, it's just going to be pictures, and it's the real story, and I'm going to have some special guests on today to talk about it. I love this book. I mean, it was a kaleidoscope through the decades, how he captured the decades, the celebrities, the sports figures, the people he came in contact. I mean, he really is an icon. This man is really an icon. So it's just terrific. And I've got some special guests on today who are icons themselves a little bit here. We have Patty Otis Abel. She's a journalist and writer who covers the arts and luxury lifestyle beat for prestigious publications. She is the collaborating writer-editor for All Told and has had the pleasure of working with Leroy Nemus for more than a decade on book projects. Also today, we're going to have Ben Isaacs. This man is a respected and knowledgeable art publisher and licensor. He's worked with Leroy Nemus on special events for 20 years, notably the Winter Olympics, Kentucky Derby, and the Ryder Cup. And he is also a friend and collaborator. Okay, and we're going to bring them on now. I see they're on the line. And our chat room is already lit up. Hello, chat room. We've got people in the chat room, if you can see. This is going to be a terrific interview. So let's bring on our guest. And first, I'm going to go old-fashioned, ladies first, and then I'm going to bring on Ben. Patty, are you there? Let's see. We're clicking around.
Hello?
There you are.
Gotcha. Yep.
And then we're going to bring you on, Ben, so I know you're listening, and then we'll have you both on at the same time. Okay, Patty, this is terrific. As I was telling my listeners, when I first got the book, I thought, you know, it's going to be like a table book. And I opened it up and I said, wait a minute, this is a history book. This is great. There's so much information there. And I have a personal collection to Mr. Leroy Nemus in that I see his art every week because I'm a member of the Friars Club. And the famous portrait of Henny Youngman hangs there by Leroy, who is also a friar. So I get to look at this great art all the time. Yeah. And it's just, it was just fantastic. The way, I know your great contributions to the book as well, the way it just took me through the history of, I felt almost as I was being born into my own culture again.
Yeah.
And that just is the thing.
That's
so tell us about your connection, how it started.
Well, I was, you know, I've always been a writer, and I was actually living in the same building that he lives in, and we were at a kind of a building party, and I went up to him, and I said, I'm a writer, and I know you do books, and I'd love to collaborate with you along the way. And so I showed him some things that I did, and a couple of weeks later, I got a call from Lynn Quayle and said, Leroy's on the line, and we started working on books. I worked on his Safari book with him and a couple of others, and then he said, why don't you help me work on my life story, which I was thrilled to do. And, you know, but, I mean, Leroy is, what I learned from even just working on Safari is that he's such a wonderful observer of things, and I just always loved the way he talked about the things that he saw as well as how he drew them and painted them. And, you know, that just got captured in the Safari book, and it definitely got captured in the book that you talk about as a real readable book. And we purposely did that. You know, he's done wonderful art books, but we really wanted this to really have him speaking because he's always had such a personal connection with his audience. And, you know, we really wanted
to see him talking to people. Yes, and what I liked about the book was it was, because I've seen the art, you know, over the years, and I have friends like who can afford to collect it, but it is that I've always seen it. But this was the man behind the art,
yeah.
And there was such a great feeling about that because he didn't spare any, try to sugarcoat it or, you know, make it anything other than his life. He started out, he had a hard life.
And he was always watching. He was always sketching. And he was always taking notes. He would write notes on his sketches sometimes and on the back of menus and on, you know, things that he was sketching on. So he really has a very vivid, had a very vivid memory and recollection and, you know, recording of all this stuff. So it was so exciting to work with him on it.
And you go, girl, walking up to him at a party and saying, hey, you know who should write for you? Me.
You know, when you're from the Midwest, you kind of do these things.
That's right. You deal with tornadoes. You can deal with Leroy. Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's good for you. I love when I hear stories about that somebody just said, you know what? I just walked up to him and that's how it happened. And I love that kind of story. And you could tell, I mean, the feeling for the book, there is an energy that vibrates from the book because you'll read a little about him and you go, oh, wow. And then you'll see a picture. Then you read more and go, oh, wow. And you feel so connected to his art and how it evolved over the years. And it just makes it, it's a great read. It's a terrific read. But more than that, I'm thinking, because I have a 17-year-old son. Look at me trying to make myself younger. He has no inkling of, I mean, we're talking, what makes this book exciting is the politics involved, the social mores involved, the evolution of him being brave enough to paint, which people today wouldn't even believe, blacks and whites in the same picture. That braveness that he had of just, I'm going to do my art, and that comes on. And so why don't we bring in Ben into the conversation, because I know I saw Kentucky Derby, so he's chomping at the bits, I'm sure. Here we go. Let's bring in Ben.
Good morning, Ben. Good morning, MC.
Hi, Ben Isaacs. You're terrific. I saw Kentucky Derby there, and I was ready to go. I love
Excellent.
It. So, Ben, tell us about your connection and how it began.
I'm calling in from San Francisco this morning. I'm out here for the United States Open, and I will just say to start with, it's ironic. Today is the first day of the Open. And if Leroy was out here, we'd be inside the ropes covering Tiger Woods and Bubba Watson and Phil Mickelson right now as they trotted down the first fairway at Olympics. So
he did have a connection. Tell us about that connection with athletes. Because
absolutely. I'd be happy to. I will tell you that I'm from Louisville, Kentucky originally, home of the Kentucky Derby. And the thing about Leroy, I remember in 1973, Secretariat winning the Derby. I was a college student then. And I just remember this swashbuckling figure in a white suit with a handlebar mustache with a blonde on each arm walking across the racetrack. And I went, that guy has got it going on, okay? Leroy always has said, if there wasn't a Leroy Neiman, I would have invented him. You know, that whole persona.
That's a great line.
The cigar, the handlebar, the way, you know, the way he perceives and comes across as an artist is quite special. And
how did you meet? What was your connection? How did you
meet? I met him because I was approached. I had started a series of artwork as the official artwork for the Kentucky Derby. And Dick Lynch, his dealer at Hammer Galleries at the time, approached me about getting involved with the Derby because Leroy had done so many great pieces over the years. In fact, there's a huge mural that's in the book called Stretch Stampede that hangs at Churchill Downs in their corporate offices. And Lee and Lynn got to see it the last time we were in Kentucky together. It was just very special. So we started working, and what I really have done with Leroy over the last 15, 20 years was work on special events and big projects that excite him. You know, the great thing about Louisville and Leroy is he has several connections there, and it's not just the Derby, and we'll get into it later, I'm sure, but his connection with Muhammad and the years with Ali and the 50-year love affair and relationship those two have had is quite special as well.
Yes. I think Patty also will agree on that. His openness to people, his fearlessness of celebrities, and the audacity to tell Ali, draw me something.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the other interesting thing about Leroy is that he knew these people before they were these people. He has a bit in the book about first seeing the young Tiger Woods before anybody knew who Tiger Woods was, and he was impressed with him at that point. He saw him playing on a course. And he knew the Beatles before. He went to a show in Liverpool of the Beatles performing before anybody knew. When the locals were saying, you got to see this band, he knew Ali when he was Cassius Clay. And when he walked into his dressing room before a fight, and nobody knew even who Cassius Clay was at that point. So, you know, he's not only been in the middle of it, he's been in the front of it with so many of these people.
Well, and also, I mean, that's what I said. It was like a history lesson. If you, like my age, okay, I know some from when I was a child and what was going on. But, as I said, I have a 17-year-old who would not have no idea what this is. And I said, look at these pictures. And, my 17-year-old goes, wow, these are really cool, Mom. And then I said, well, read the book. Read the book.
Yeah.
And the fact he was a provocateur and how brave he was in his art, because no one was doing this.
Yeah.
No one was doing this. I mean, you had Peter Max doing psychedelic, Andy Warhol doing great tones, but he was capturing the emotion of the characters.
Yeah, and Ben, I'm sure you'll agree with this, that, you know, he often talks about when he was doing sports and how, you know, this was before the time of Zoom cameras and instant replays, and so he was just getting all that action. He was the only one that was doing it at that point, and so many people remember him as being the artist that was on television sketching.
Oh,
absolutely.
Ben?
The great appearances with, I mean, there are some classic appearances with Howard Cosell, for example, appearances with him and Muhammad, Leroy. I mean, you know, talk about poignancy. I mean, the Munich Olympics, let's pick something that was just a horrendous moment. Leroy captured it with such grace and elegance and really got to the core of that whole horrible incident. But I think, Pat, I have to say, you know, I saw you in New York a few weeks ago, but the book reads like a novel. I couldn't put it down.
That was my feeling. There was, it practically, you would read and go, oh, gosh, this guy was daring. I mean, from his military days on, and even from his childhood, his mother had to struggle with the kids, and he didn't have money, and he ended up living the life of a pasha, basically.
Yeah.
Traveling
the
world.
American story, you know, and yet, you know, he lived his life, even now he lives his life in a very modest, to a certain extent, you know, when you just think about his level of celebrity, he lives a pretty modest life. And, you know, because he was always all about his art, he was always a hardworking artist. And because his art had so much to do with his lifestyle, and he's done books about that, you know, but even then, you know, his art, when he was out there, it was because it was of his art. And when he lives his private life, it's pretty simple.
And he was, you know, as I got a feeling for it because of the history of and all the celebrity connections and stuff, but I really got a feeling he was, to me, he was like an Errol Flynn of art in that he was a kind of a swashbuckler in he would, if when he was with his Playboy years, when they made him those leisure, the leisure man who wrote the leisure articles, he lived the life.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, somebody paid him to go and be all these all over the world to live the life.
Well,
Nancy?
Yes, Ben, go ahead.
I tell you that all you have to do, and I have showed this to clients and friends all over the world any chance I get, is go to LeroyNeiman.com or our site, CobaltArt.com, and look at the chronology of Leroy.
Yeah.
And what you'll see is that you can take any year, but especially 60, 61, 62, when Hef was sending him all over the world, okay? He had experiences like, you know, going to the Folies Bergère, to Maxime's. He's in Paris for this. He's in Monte Carlo for the races. He's at Longchamp for horse racing.
At the ballet. He's at the...
he was on the scene. He was the chronicler. He was the observer. He, you know, so much of his art. I was an art history major in college, and what I love about Leroy and what we've always connected about is the art and the influences. And when he first told me he loved Raoul Dufy's paintings of racing, I mean, we bonded immediately. And I just think that that's what's so special about Lee, is that his art is egalitarian. It's there for the common man. It's there for all strata of society. But at the same time, it's based on this incredible art historic knowledge and this incredible ability that he had as a student at the School of the Art Institute, as well as a professor and teacher at the School of the Art Institute.
Yes, and seeing it through his eyes, the colors, the vibrant colors. But not only that, how about the sketches? To me, probably people don't know, but if you go through the book, he sketched a lot of gangsters.
Yeah, I love the sketches.
Tell us about that, Patty.
I'm a personal favorite of the sketches are a personal favorite of mine. I just think that, you know, and that's what he was doing from the very beginning when he was a kid. He was doing, you know, that's how this just automatically all of this art instinct started with him. But, yeah, the gangsters, you know, his time, again, he was in Vegas when, you know, it was still desert before the fancy hotels, when it was the Sands, you know, all of those great places that we look back on, you know, that kind of Mad Men time. And, you know, he captured these, you know, because he was shoulder to shoulder with these gamblers, and they were, again, taking him into their fold in terms of just, there was, I forgot the guy that...
Was it Capone who said he... When he was Capone who said, he goes, leave your coat on? I think it was Capone.
Oh, there was somebody he met at a party, a Playboy party, where he was talking to him. I can't remember the guy's name.
Well, this was even before Playboy. This was, he did Mickey Cohen in 1957.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, some scary people. You're talking about some scary people coming up to you and say, draw me.
then he would draw people, and somebody would come up to him, one of their cohorts, and would say, hey, so-and-so wants to sketch. And he'd say, he wants the sketch? He can buy the sketch, you know? I mean, he was just scary.
And yes, and also, tell us, Patty or Ben, you both would know that. Now, I know, Ben, you have all the celebrity sports connections, but Patty, the art gallery his work goes for, tell us how high, the highest thing it's gone for.
You know, I am not really a
person
to ask
about
that.
Well, I'm going to say millions, right? We're talking somethings of millions?
Yeah, you know, I would hate to. Ben, you might know more about that, right?
Well, I think this. Leroy has some incredible original artwork that, to be honest, is priceless. You know, there is a mural in his studio, a jazz mural that he did, that is the most magnificent thing I've ever seen. And it's like the piece of Churchill Downs, a stretch stampede. There are pieces that are just priceless. And I will say I'm very honored to have been able to be associated with him on one of his last, if not his last, major painting. He painted this piece for the Ryder Cup this year, golf's premier event that's going to be in Chicago at Medina Country Club, and it's a 4-foot by 6-foot painting. If you can imagine him doing this at 89 or 90 years old with
amazing.
His assistant.
Well,
you know,
it's
truly spectacular. It hangs in the clubhouse now at Medina, and we're just so honored and thrilled with it.
Well, I do have a little fact sheet here, and according to my fact sheet, it says that his prints continue to bring in $10 million a year in sales.
$10 million
a year. And I just remembered a funny story from the book that I want to bring up, Patty, and that's the Frank Sinatra. And taking the painting out of the – you want to tell that one? Or do you? With Frank Sinatra, he had one of his paintings was hanging in a club.
They were all there drinking, you know, carousing until the wee hours, and they were getting ready to leave, and Sinatra just took it off the wall, stuck it under his arm, and walked out. And, you know, nobody's going to question Sinatra. And apparently his limo was out, or his driver was outside, and he just walked along next. Apparently he would often do this, just kind of walked along next to the driver until they knew it was time that he wanted to get in the car and drive away, you know. So that's the image of him, you know, doing that.
I love that he did that he was just Frank Sinatra, because he's Sinatra, he can. But also because as a member of the Friars Club, I know that the stories there, when Leroy walked in, heads would turn, and he would sit at his table, and he would hold court, basically, because people just wanted to hear him talk. And that's what's so great about this book. You can hear his voice here. His voice mixed with his artwork. I have to say, Patty and Ben, this book is fabulously put together. I know you guys had a lot to do with it. It is just fabulous.
Well,
put together,
it was a long
labor
of love on Leroy's part for many more years than I was involved in it even, you know. So, but I was involved for a good chunk of it, and that's really wonderful to hear because there really was a lot of heart put into it.
And you could tell that. I mean, the picture of the Metropolitan Opera,
yeah.
And when you think about that, art imitating life, imitating art, because I believe that's a I want to get the artist right, behind who he's painting in those big windows. Is that Matisse? I'm trying to remember. I should know this.
Chagall, maybe.
Chagall. Ben, you win. Beep, beep. You get the cookie.
Yay.
Yes, it is a Chagall, and the history of those windows is that he wanted it to look like stained glass, so they cut the window panes in the front of the Metropolitan, like in squares and shapes, so when you look through it, it would be like stained glass. And here's Leroy Neiman painting a painting of a painting. You know what I'm saying, the feeling that you're getting, because it's a Chagall behind that. It's with the curtains drawn and open, so the Chagall in the background. And I said, what a tribute. And that painting just moves. You feel the movement of the crowd. You feel the movement of the lights of the Met. It captures so much.
Yeah.
And tell us about his attention to detail, Patty. His attention...
Well, I mean, his attention constantly to everything around him. You know, he would always say that whenever he came upon an interesting subject, no matter where he was, out the sketchbook would come. You know, I mean, there's great when he was actually at Camp David, and they were short of seats, and so you know he wanted to get his drawing done, and he looks over and there's Lillian Carter. She's beckoning to him. Come on over here, Leroy, and she shares half of a seat with Leroy, with Lillian Carter, and starts sketching.
Right,
you know, and then apparently a whole thing happened where the cops had to come in and make sure that there was order around and organize everything in the press, and he just kept sketching. I mean, he was so focused when he wanted to, you know, when he had his eye on something.
And we have some callers on the line here. Let me just see who's on the line. Hello, caller, your name, please.
Hi, good morning. My name is Kathy.
And do you have a question for our guest today?
I do, actually. My question is related to Leroy as the artist and the legend that he's become. I am a big fan of Leroy, and I was just wondering, what is the single most inspirational piece of being a part of Leroy's life that you've taken
away? Wow. That's a hard one. Ben?
Wow.
Patty? How can you pick one?
Are you talking about the piece in terms of art, or just a moment experience? Or
yeah, what has inspired you most about being a part of Leroy's life?
Oh boy, that.
Well, I know what is.
You know,
Ben is inspired. I think you have a Muhammad Ali Center.
Yes, very much so. I mean, well, two things I will say to that. To see Leroy's love of Muhammad shared, and we created a Leroy Neiman Gallery at the Muhammad Ali Center. First of all, there's a huge painting of Muhammad called Athlete of the Century that centers in the lobby of the center. But to see sketches from, and there's a great sketchbook of Leroy's from 64 and 65 with Liston, but these are sketches from Miami, these are sketches with his mother, these are just beautiful things. And you know, the wonderful thing about Muhammad was Muhammad would draw too. Leroy and Muhammad had this great collaboration. Muhammad would make prediction paintings or drawings, and it was quite special. But I think that really means a lot. I also attended recently the opening of the Leroy Neiman Student Center at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. Leroy and his wife Janet graciously gave a large sum of money to the school to be able to develop this center, and they rescued a mural from a bank in Wabash, Indiana. And to be there and to see the pride and the beauty that it would be the first time that his alma mater would have a place where students and faculty could co-mingle, it was just really a special day.
And Patty?
Yeah, you know, I think also as an artist, on the writer side of things, what really was so valuable to me to be able to work with him was, here is somebody who so embraced life and wanted to be so a part of what was going on the outside, and yet had such a discipline as well. You know, I mean, he just didn't let life distract him from his the discipline of his art, and yet it was that discipline that got him out there. And to be able to walk that line is just so impressive to me, you know. And as Ben said, this, the fact that, again, you know, the fact that he was had formal art training and then was able to translate that into really his own voice and his own style and look and the way he wanted to express himself to the world, you know, it was just really wonderful to be a part of watching that along the way.
All right, listener, thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Hey, Nancy.
Yes.
I just want to say, as Leroy would say, it's always a pleasure saying goodbye to you.
All right. That's great. Wait, we got to get back to the book because I want to say the title again for my listeners. Everyone, go out and get this book. It's Father's Day, for goodness sakes. What a great gift this is. This is a man's man book, and women will enjoy it, too, to read it after Dad. This is All Told, My Art and Life Among Athletes, Playboys, Bunnies, and Provocateurs. And dads, if you want to read the Playboy parts, they're in here, but you got to buy the book and get your kids to say, put it on your wish list for Father's Day. All Told, My Art and Life Among Athletes, Playboys, Bunnies, and Provocateurs. And Patty and Ben, your contributions to the books. Patty, well, especially, you did a lot of work, I know. And Ben, keep this going. You're keeping it alive with the Arts Center. This is all terrific. And what's the website here to get the book? This is Lions Press. Is it available in all bookstores?
I believe so, and Amazon as well.
Amazon.com. And it's a beautiful book. It's you know what I like about it? I mean, I wouldn't call it a coffee table book, except for the beautiful pictures. You can carry this book with you to read it. You can throw it in your briefcase, carry it. It's not that heavy, but it's just, and the pages, the laminated pages are just so nice to even, I love the smell of a new book. I just love the smell of a new book, and this has been great. I believe that he also, you can go to his website as well?
Yes.
LeroyNeiman.com.
Yeah, and there's a public page on Facebook as well.
Oh, Facebook,
yes,
everybody, Facebook
yeah.
this.
Yes.
I must mention, I don't know if you could see this if you're in my chat room. The chat room is full with, there's another radio show actually in the chat room, Betty Jo Tucker from Movie Attic Headquarters, who, Betty Jo, you're going to love this book, and I hope you mention it on your show as well. And also a shout out to all the people in the chat room. I hope you enjoyed it. Yes, everybody loves the show. This is terrific. And do you have anything you'd like to add? We have 2 minutes here. How would you say, what would be your personal feeling of his imprint? His imprint on art.
I don't think we even know yet fully what that imprint is. I think as all of this, as we gain even a better perspective on what he contributed, I think it's the imprint is going to just become more and more as the years go by.
I so agree, Patty. I think really what's gone on here, and you said it really well, Nancy, it's a generational thing. There is a sort of a Maginot line between, do you know who Leroy Neiman is and do you not, okay? Because it was, we grew up with this. The whole idea, what Patty said about, you know, before Photoshop, before computers, Leroy was at the Olympics. He was on the scene. He was the Honoré Daumier. He was sketching. His sketches had been compared to those horse sketches of Eugene Delacroix, for example, by an art critic. I think the bottom line is we don't know because there is so much to unfold, and if people really understand, take time to read the book and understand what prompted him to be and make the decisions he did, you're going to have a much deeper understanding of him as an artist. One of my favorite pictures in the book is an image of Leroy with Andy Warhol, Robert Mapplethorpe, Francesco Clemente,
the group shot.
I mean, there is the pantheon of artists of the mid-'80s New York scene, and so many people say, oh, that's not Leroy Neiman, but he's right there with his champagne glass toasting everyone.
I think he's the only one toasting with a champagne glass, too.
But that was his style. He was not afraid, as I said, a man's man. He was not afraid to just project his style out on the world. And he did that with his art, and he did that with his persona. But it is a kaleidoscope in the coloring through the decades. And it's almost like reading the history, it's history and art combined through the decades, decade by decade, the Beatles picture, all of that. Before the, as you say, before we knew who they were, before anyone knew, he was there.
Even when he was recording all the discos and all that going on, that was when all that stuff was just starting. It was when this professional class was emerging with suddenly income that they wanted to spend and be able to get into these clubs and do these things. He was right there at the beginning of all that as well, in Paris and in London and in New York.
And so as our show closes, where can people go to find out, besides buying this book right away for Father's Day, where can they go to find out more about both of you? Patty, you first.
Do
you have a website or?
I don't.
All right. Google her.
I like to say I'm such a busy writer that I've never had time to put the website up.
All right. Well, are you working on something right now?
I have a couple of projects that I am, another project to work with someone on a memoir, and I also have my own proposal that I'm working up.
All right, so
areas,
listeners, you just keep on track with Patty Otis Abel.
LinkedIn. There we go.
And LinkedIn, and then you'll find out what her future was. Read her work now and her contribution as editor, which is a hard job, taking
you,
all
Nancy.
The facts and putting that's everybody's got a story, but somebody's got to put it together. Okay, and Ben Isaacs, where can we find you? www.cobaltart.com.
That's right, CobaltArt, cobaltart.com, and we have a great collection of Leroy imagery and some great tales on there as well, so really appreciate all of it. Patty, I'll just say again, you did a great job. So many times in families, you know, how things get passed down through an oral history and you wish things had been written down. Well, thank God you all have written down Leroy's story because...
Well, Leroy wrote it. You know, I mean, Leroy really wrote it. So I just helped to kind of shape it up.
Well, thank you both for being guests on today's show. The time went by. We actually went a little overtime, but I don't care because it was worth it. Thank you both, everyone, all told. This is a terrific book. Go get it. Amazon, your bookstores. If your bookstores don't have it, ask for it, order it. It's terrific, and there's so much we couldn't even cover, but the provocateur part, that's in there, and I'm not giving it away. So go get the book, everyone. Thank you again, my guest, Patty Otis Abel and Ben Isaacs. And enjoy your golfing today, Ben.
Thank you so much. We're headed there now.
All right.
I'm going back to work. I don't know about you, Ben.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. This is Nancy Lombardo, Comedy Concepts, Blog Talk Radio with terrific guests. All right. Signing off. Bye.
Bye.